Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews today. I'm going to preach a little while on faith. It's been several years, I think, since I've preached on faith, but it's one of the key elements that drive a church, that holds a church up. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. What we do by faith. Over there in John, down around verse 6 and 9, the Lord's speaking to one of the disciples, and he asked him, "Who do they say that I am? And who do you think I am?" And he said, "We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ." And what I like there is the order. You know what came first? The belief. We believe and are sure. And see, that's how God works. We believe first, and then God gives the assurance. Isn't that amazing? Man says, "You prove it to me, then I'll believe it." God said, "I'm not going to do that." Said, "You believe it, then I'll prove it to you." That's how God works. I had this conversation with a cousin of mine a few years ago. He's trying to digging out all the manuscript evidence, going to the Bible, and trying to get convinced that the Bible was true. And I told him, I said, "You approach that book by faith. You don't go in there trying to prove if God's right or wrong. You go there believing God, because it takes faith for God to reveal Himself to you." He talked about those that he said, "You believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and believe." So we're going to deal a little bit about faith this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, known as the Hall of Faith, and all these heroes. And it says in verse 1, Hebrews 11, said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And for by it the elders obtained a good report, and through faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now you got to remember, when that word of God was sent down, they didn't know anything about microscopic things. They thought what you saw is what you got. That book's so far ahead of everything. But we've said this before: faith, if you want to get to God, it requires faith. And what it's saying here in the context is, it is the substance of things hoped for. There, when it comes to faith, there needs to be an object of your faith. And the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. The fact that He's the Savior, the fact that He was buried, that He was crucified for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the object of my faith, is in His death, burial, and resurrection. The fact that He's not a dead Savior. He's alive. He always was, always is. He is the great I Am. And I differ from some of my preacher buddies on time and that type of thing, and what time is, and what I see in Scripture is God just always is. He's just always. Whether it's 100 years ago or 100 years from now, He is. I won't go much into this, but the quantum physics talk about time, where God is like on a parallel with us, always, throughout everything. Tell them, "I Am sent you." I don't want to go there. But anyway, faith. Faith requires an object of that faith. And then our hope. It says, it's the evidence of things not seen, and the substance of things hoped for. And our hope, obviously, is in the veracity of God's word, the truthfulness. Is it the truth? Do we believe that God is telling the truth? Let God be true and every man a liar. If you start doubting God, if you start developing a controversy with God, you're never going to find peace in your Christian walk. You've got to understand by faith, whatever God says is settled in heaven forever. That's what He says about His word. Thy word is truth. Thy word forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. If God says it, the fellow had the bumper sticker years ago, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, that's not really true. If God said it, it's settled whether you believe it or not. So what God's looking for is faith. We accept. Years ago when I preached this message or a similar message to this, I talked about my daddy who was an honest man. And if I trusted what he told me. If my dad said, well, we're going to go rabbit hunting Saturday morning. Well, I acted on what he told me. I'd get my boots ready. Back in the day, Mama kept some tallow, some beef tallow. You know what that is, Donnie, and deer tallow. And we'd take those boots. They didn't have everything waterproofed and so forth like they did years later. And I'd rub that tallow into the seams of those boots to waterproof them and rub that in. And the water just beat up on them, wouldn't soak in, keep my feet dry. But if my dad said we're going to rabbit hunting Saturday, I checked my shotgun, made sure I had the right shell. I think I used 5 or 6 shot for rabbits. Some of them used 4. 7.5. What do you use?
7.5.
7.5. I wasn't hunting quail, I was hunting rabbits, Don.
Hunting both.
Oh, you was hunting both. I get it. Okay. Oh, we got that. I better watch what I say. We got that Cody Barrow back there. He's a coon hunter extraordinaire. He's got his pictures splattered all over Facebook with them high-powered dogs. And I think they ought to just put the dog's picture and Cody ought to stay at the house. Anyway. But see, when my dad told me that something was going to happen, we were going hunting Saturday morning, I didn't check his references. I didn't ask for a second opinion. I knew that unless something providential happened, that it was going to come about. And God, when God says something, you better learn to take it to the bank. For God can't lie. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it, or hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? He's good for his word. In fact, if you ever understand, ever grip this thing about God's holiness, you'll understand that he can't lie. If he could lie, he wouldn't be holy. The Bible says God is faithful and cannot deny himself. He can't because he's holy. When I read that scripture that said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I looked again that said shall be. It didn't say I might be. It said you shall be. And I had God's word on it. I knew that if I did what God told me to do, he had to do what he said he'd do because he can't lie. Said by two immutable things. One, in that it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. So I anchor more on the veracity of God's word than anything else. I trust it more than I trust my own feelings. I trust it more than the scientific community. What it say in our text here, it said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You believe that? Or are you trusting in the scientific community? Whenever you start trusting in the carnal man, whenever it opposes the word of God, you're developing a controversy you'll never work out. Because what will happen is about 30 years after you've settled on what some goofball scientist told you, someone else will come along and prove that the Bible was right all along. You know, for years, the scientific community swore up and down that the world was flat. You know that? Galileo shows up and he says, I believe the world is round. They're going to burn him at stake. What? World is round. Herod, let's burn him at stake. I'm glad I didn't splash any of you guys. I'm not done yet, though. God is always, well, now true science, God will never be in opposition to real science. The Bible says, beware of the oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Anybody ever hear of fake news? Yeah. Hey, there's a lot of fake science out there too. All these see somebody that does a long research and a long study and research. You know, first thing I look at, who paid for the study? Who paid for the research? Because it's going to come out favoring the one who paid for it. That's why they have new Bibles every week. Oh, I don't want to go there. Let me stick to the text here. All right, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You ever get that? When I was a kid, I'm wondering if God can really do that. Wow. And one thing where faith steps in is something, tragedy will happen in your life. And you'll say, well, there's no way in this world I can get through this situation. How? I can't survive this. And the key there is you give it to God and don't stress out trying to figure out how he can't do it. Oh, God can't. I don't know how God's going to do this. I can't get through this. How is God going to do it? Don't do that. Just step out by faith. Say, God, I'm going to trust that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Faith opens all God's doors. That faith in bringing up the name of Jesus Christ. What a thing. Now, God tells us that he created the heaven and the earth. Some believe that and some don't. There's a big crowd out there that just don't believe it. Well, all the studies, they're getting closer. The scientists think that they've found perhaps the origins of life with this exploding whatever it is out 2 million miles away. Them big goofballs. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You've heard me say this. If a man don't believe Genesis 1:1, if a man don't believe that in the beginning God, I'll tell you his stand on gun control. I'll tell you his stand on abortion. I'll tell you his stand on the homosexuality. I'll tell you his stand on every political issue based on the fact of whether he believes in the beginning God. Because if he don't believe that, he's got a whole different set of values that he goes by. I may be stretching a little, maybe not. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Some say, well, he's got to provide more evidence than that to me. No, he don't. Die in your sins. He don't have to do anything. He just says, you trust me. Don't go to God telling him what he has to do, what he has to provide for you. Christian says, if God says it, I believe it. Most of the time, I've found from my Bible reading, God purposely leaves out a whole bunch of details. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Done deal. I'm supposed to believe that? Yeah. I believe it. Well, you're asking a lot. No, I'm not. Just saying, have faith in the truth giver. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says, Abraham believed God, and his faith was counted for righteousness. He just believed what God told him to do. You look down through the heroes of faith, you'll find that there's always action that followed their faith. Isn't that right? Here in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel offered. By faith, Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark. By faith, Abraham went out, not knowing whither he went, offered up Isaac. By faith, Joseph gave commandment. By faith, Moses' mother hid him in the bulrushes. By faith, Moses chose to suffer the afflictions of God's people. By faith, he passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab received the spies. Their faith led them to do something. Always an action verb following their faith. The Bible says faith without works is dead. It's not talking about working your way to heaven. It's talking about a man that God saved and he gives you faith and you just sit on your laurels. Never do anything for God. A lot of folks are dead indeed unto sin, but not alive unto God. The Bible says, reckon yourself dead to sin, but and alive unto God. You're supposed to put your faith into action. That's how we win souls to Christ. That's how we give a testimony to a lost and wicked world that God has a better way. God has a peculiar people that's not caught up in all the wickedness and craziness and foolishness of this world. My, my, my. Lord told the disciples that if they only had the faith of a grain of mustard seed. As a kid, I read that and I couldn't figure it out. I said, well, that isn't that much. Surely I got that much. I didn't quite get it. And I kind of came to the conclusion later that it may not necessarily be the amount of faith you have, but stepping out on the measure of faith that God gives you. Maybe just a little faith. Little is much when God is in it. And when we step out on that mustard seed grain of faith, it appears that what happens is that his faithfulness moves in and gets the job done. The Bible says we have boldness and access by the faith of, because of the faith of him. His faithfulness is why we're bold. And I'm going to step out on that little mustard grain seed of faith. And here's one of the problems involved in that is we're still in a body of flesh that hasn't been redeemed yet. And what Paul say about this body of flesh? He said, I know within me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Another place he said, we are of those who have no confidence in the flesh. So that opens the door in this body of flesh to some doubt. Paul said, well, you can't doubt. You're still in the body of flesh, aren't you? There's a lot of things you can do you don't think maybe you can do because you're in the flesh. It's wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But faith, is as long as we're in this body of flesh, is always going to be mixed with a little doubt. Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children. Nebuchadnezzar set up the big golden image in the plain of Dur, and he said, now at a certain time, everybody has to fall down and worship the image. And said, if you don't do it, I'm going to fire up a fiery furnace and going to put you in a fiery furnace, anybody who don't worship the golden image. And he heard that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, we ain't going to do it. And he said, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, is it true what I've heard that you're not going to fall down and worship them? And he said, no, no. King, we're not going to do it. He said, our God will deliver us. Man, that's faith. Isn't that faith? What amazing faith. You know what the next three words that they speak? They said, our God will deliver us. But if not, little doubt. Our God will deliver us, we hope. Our God will get us through this. We pray that he does. See, that's because there's always going to be a little measure of doubt mixed with faith. But here's the key. In spite of the doubt, regardless of the odds, you step out and trust God. You step out on that measure of faith and say, God, I'm going to trust you anyway. Faith, it always has, stepping out always has to do with the unknowable, the unseeable, and many times the impossible. But in spite of the odds, you just step out on the measure of faith God gives you, and you enter into his faithfulness. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Don't say in the Son of God or on the Son of God. Said, I live by the faith of the Son of God, his faithfulness, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. When I step out on faith, all I'm trying to do is enter into my faithful Savior who performs, it says in Psalms 57, performs all things for me. Isn't that good? Man, write down that verse if you can sometimes. Psalm 57:2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. Isn't that wild? He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know the problem? We want to be the performer. There are a lot of things I can do. The Bible says his strength is made perfect in weakness. Whenever you quit trying to do the performing and you get out of God's way and you submit to God instead of trying to do the performing, something good's going to happen. Paul said, the will is present with me. Man, I want to do right. The will is there. The will is present with him. But how to perform? That which is good, I find not. God gave us our will not to perform with, but to submit with. What measure of faith do you have today? Maybe there's a battle going on in your life, and you just don't know how you're going to get through it, and you wonder, well, do I have enough faith? There's a boy from Sunman, an old friend of mine, was a policeman in Sunman for years. He was dying of cancer, and he called me to his bedside. He said, Tom, I've been agnostic most of my life. He says, not that I don't believe God. I want to believe. I just don't know that I have enough faith to be saved. I went through the salvation plan about how Jesus Christ died for our sins. And all you got to do is step out, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Call on the name of the Lord. Come to yourself. Admit that you're a sinner. He said, Tom, I'm not sure I've got enough faith to get saved. I said, then why don't you do this? Why don't you just step out on that measure, that mustard seed grain of faith that God gave you? That mustard seed grain of faith that challenged you, that spoke to your heart to call the preacher. Step out. He prayed that day and he teared up, and I believe God saved that man that day. Amen. So don't think you've got to be a giant of faith. You just step out on the faith you've got, and then God will give you more faith. A fellow says, well, how do I get faith? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you place yourself under the preaching of the word of God? Evidently you do. You're here. Do you take the time out of your day to go to the Word of God? Get that prescription from God, that daily dose of God's Word. You want faith? That's where you find it. Get on your face before God and talk to Him. Talk to Him. Tell Him all about your day and your struggles. Confess your sins to Him and your weaknesses. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll help you. He'll give you peace in this life that you've never had before. And all he asks you to do is have faith, believe him, give it to him. Quit trying so hard. The key to the ministry God has given me here at Hope Baptist Church, it'll be 20 years in September. Brother Phil Gabbard told me as soon as I took this job, I said, Brother Phil, I don't know, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. 20 years later, I still don't. But what he told me, I've tried to live by. He said, you keep out of God's way. As long as I'm trying to do the performing and strut how smart I am and how spiritual I am and how this and that I am, God don't get any glory. I'm just glorifying myself or the church. The church is a people. This building is not the church. It's the body. Where do you stand today? I'm done. If everyone stand up. Have you ever just stepped out by the measure of faith God gave you? Maybe you're here today and you've just never thought you had the faith to get saved. Be a good day to do that. Just admit to God that you're a mess. He says we all are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then ask Him the best way you know how to have mercy on you, a sinner. He won't refuse you. He promises that He won't refuse you. Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Maybe you've got sickness in your family. Maybe you've got a disease you're dealing with, or a medical thing you're dealing with. Why not just step out? Maybe it looks, odds are stacked against you. Hey, our God is a God of the impossible. The difficult cases are right down God's alley. Won't you, on the mustard seed grain of faith that God gives you, just step out and allow His faithfulness to do the job, because He loves you. You have not, because you ask not. The altar's open this morning as we sing.